everything should, you should go 110% at work, like all the time.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. Today, we have Colin Powell, video producer and co-founder of Uproot Creative Services. Colin, welcome to episode 84 of the American Grown Podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Perfect. Yeah, welcome. And just to point out for the listeners, this is not George Bush's old Secretary of State, yeah. Colin Powell.
No, I retired a while ago. No, I am blessed. I'm a very much an optimist, glass half full kind of guy. And I happen to share the same name as an old politician. And I'm very thankful to share the name with the one politician both sides seem to love.
There you go. Yeah.
Just ended up being a total coincidence, but I am lucky in that sense.
It's spelled exactly the same way.
Yep. Pronounced differently. He's Colin. I'm Colin.
Colin. Okay.
Yeah. Spelled the same though.
I like it. Very cool. And I was looking, like I mentioned off air to you, it has been a year since you filled out the form to be on the podcast. Mm-hmm. So for all the listeners out there, don't lose hope. I'm getting to you. I am getting to you. And we've known each other, gosh, before COVID, I think.
Before COVID. Because I was at CBS 21. We shot a commercial with you guys here at Color Tech. And I left CBS 21 probably soon after that. So
that's
right on.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, time flies, man.
Time does fly. It's scary, you know. And since that time, since you filled out the form, you're a father of I believe a 1-year-old.
Yeah.
So how has that life changing experience? How has that changed your life? Your wife Ashley, her life, and mm-hmm. I think you have a puppy dog also.
Yep. I got my dog Weasley. He's a Welsh Springer Spaniel. He's tons of fun. My amazing wife, Ashley, is her name. And yeah, Anderson is my little guy's name. And he just turned 1 on May 9th. And he's just such a smiley, happy little guy. And life is just amazing. A little sleep deprived at times, but he's just so much fun. And it's kind of rewired literally everything I think about in a way, because now it's no longer with work and career and like even just time management. It's like, how does this benefit him? How can this, you know, is this decision the right decision for the family as opposed to myself or something along those lines? So I definitely am thinking about him and Ash and Weasley too, but them, the family all the time when it comes to picking up projects, when it comes to even just like coming out here to record, you know, even just like every aspect. So it's fun. It's nice putting someone else, trying to put them, make sure they're taken care of.
Yeah. Put them first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, time management becomes huge. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only so much 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, you know, mm-hmm. and it's how do you provide for the family, be there for your family, and also do creative things like come on the podcast, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like finding that perfect work-life balance.
Yeah. There's like a creative itch. There's like a work itch. And then there's like is the family taken care of? Which I'm sure you get a lot of, right?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Congratulations on you're the newest member.
Thank you. Yeah, Finn, our son Finn, he's now 4 months. Parker, a little over a year and a half old, our daughter. And it's 2 under 2. Big difference from having the one child, but so rewarding watching his progression, how he's growing and how different they are, you know, even though they're so little and young. But it is a lot of, like you said, you're putting them first, and sometimes it's controlled chaos, maybe sometimes, you know, especially with the 2 under 2, because then you know, like my wife and I
can't imagine.
It's all hands on deck.
I can't get out the door in the morning on time with one, let alone where you're at. One's running around at your point. My guy still put him in the pack and play, and he might cry or get upset, but you know, my hands are free at least. Whereas you are, I'm sure, chasing her around.
All hands on deck. you know, is your son, does he have like a favorite, like Paw Patrol or anything like that? Is he doing
we haven't watched too many shows. We're still kind of getting into like, we got him this, this like play set of a farm, and it's got this, you know, the little bead things that you push around. We got him one of those, and he's really into that right now.
I love that myself at 32. I love that thing. Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you know, it's on like the metal wire and you're pushing the beads. Yeah. That's funny. Oh my God.
I spent way too long. I was trying to flick one from the bottom.
Yes.
Going all the way through it.
Did you make it?
And no. But if you stack them and you have like three in a row and you put some significant force, then they can make the first one go through. So I was like,
yeah.
Wait, I was never good at physics, but like, why is this?
Right, it just doesn't make sense.
So I'm like thinking about it. I'm like, but wait a second. Yeah. If I stack, what if I stack two more? What if I undo the toy, add two more beads to it, and try it?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And, you know, Parker is big into books. She mm-hmm. likes books, you know, and she will say sit, which sounds more like shit.
Yeah.
But she say sit and, you know, and book. So we'll read books. We did... go into the Disney realm. We started a Disney movie or two.
Cool.
So like, great. Frozen is big for her and such. But
I'm kind of stoked for some Disney time. I'm not. I'm sure you're probably getting old.
Yes.
Getting tired.
Yes. Frozen.
Play Frozen again.
Let it go.
Yeah.
It's enough. So yeah. So we'll do some Elmo or Sesame Street in there. Cool. But Yeah.
Right on. So is she big into Paw Patrol right now? Is that?
Paw Patrol. Yes. That's that's also up there.
All right.
Paw Patrol's up there.
Right on.
You know.
Man. And I see what I have to look forward to, if anything.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, get ready. You'll know all the characters and all the theme songs.
Yeah.
I could probably sing them right now, but I don't want to embarrass myself. But, yeah, so it's fatherhood's really fun.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yep.
100%. Awesome. Let's kind of jump in and get, you know, your background, early childhood. What was life like growing up for you?
So I had a fun childhood. My parents were very into the dog show, dog breeding world. So they used to breed and raise Norfolk and Welsh Springer I'm sorry, I have a Springer Spaniel now, so I jumped out. Norfolk Terriers and Welsh Terriers.
Okay.
And so growing up, they were always traveling to different dog shows on the East Coast. So I would go with them and make friends at the dog show and run around. I remember once I was like trying to, my brother and I were like, we had a mission to like steal these brownies from the judges tent. So we would sneak through the tents and get them and just meet like all my parents' dog show friends. If you've ever been to a dog show, everybody brings their mobile home.
Okay.
Mobile homes. And it's they like all just do. Like, it's like a massive, I want to say it's like Burning Man almost, but it couldn't be further from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's a dog show.
Right.
But they're all, you know, the dogs, they bring the dogs out and they put them in their pens and they take time grooming them and they get them show ready and then they take them out. So my parents did that and they had a kennel. So we grew up with, tons of dogs always in the kennel. Going to dog shows. My parents also had a little farm. They had two ponies, a couple cows, some peacocks, chickens. Just like, it was a fun life, like growing up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But essentially, they showed terriers. So they were very into the terrier world as opposed to the other groups. And then as they developed their careers, my dad became a judge. And he's been learning to judge all sorts of different breeds, all sorts of different groups. And my mom has also gotten very into dachshunds, which are, I believe they're in the hound group, maybe sporting or non-sport. I forget. So they've kind of, their careers have changed a little and, that's really fun to see as well.
That's awesome. So, you know, growing up sounds like you had a really good childhood, a lot of puppy dogs around the house.
Mm-hmm.
So then looking ahead, you know, high school, moving into college, were you in high school ever like a part of the broadcasting or like news, like. So at my school at Cedar Crest here, I was on the Talon, which is our local newspaper.
Cool.
So that's how I cut my teeth in sports photography.
Yeah.
Was way back then. That was on a Canon at the time, which now I'm a Nikon guy. But anyway, yeah. So what was it for you back then?
No, I never got into, we didn't have any sort of broadcasting thing. The closest thing we had was a yearbook crew that put together the yearbook, sent photographers out. I didn't do anything like that. I was in marching band, which is a great experience. And I think I didn't discover video until I was in college. I knew in high school I got really into just like watching films. Like just like, oh, wait a second, like this is more than entertainment. There's like, this is an art style. And I got really into like, wait, what else has this director done and stuff. And so like in high school, I really kind of branched my knowledge of filmography. And then when I got to college, that was when people were like, eventually someone was like, you know, you can study this, right? Like, you don't have to keep taking these media classes. I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, no, this is a career. You can do this.
Yeah.
I was like, well, let's take one and see if we like it. And yeah, I was in.
So you went to Penn State main campus?
I started at the Harrisburg campus and then transferred up to main campus, which if a lot of people are interested, that's a great way to get into Penn State, just because main campus can be very competitive and it has a ton of branch campuses all around the state. And I just commuted from my home and did the first 2 years there, knocked out all my gen eds, which I would have needed up at State College anyway, and saved a ton of money. And also at the same time, made a ton of connections and started to really learn what I wanted to do, because I didn't know what I wanted to do going into college. And that's why one of the reasons I thought Penn State was a good fit, because I realized there was enough opportunity to sort of play with stuff and figure out what I like.
And I think a lot of high school kids, you know, seniors coming out of high school, you don't know what you want to do, you know, even freshmen or, you know, sophomore in college. So I feel like that is the like best route. I feel like if you're going to go to college now, if you know you want to be a nurse or a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, you know, then you can kind of commit. But to me, definitely, why not, you know, like you said, save money, get your gen eds out of the way, then go to main campus. Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
Meet people, talk, like, join a couple clubs, just try things. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah, and it's all about 100%. Connections. I think life is all about connections, who you know and, you know, what you can do for them. And then in return, you know, they do things for you. Like, it's a give and take, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, while you're at Penn State main campus, what was the, like, what classes did you take for video? Do you remember, like, what was your first, like, camera you used and what were you recording back then?
Yeah. I started with... It was too late for me to get into the film major. Film was like, you know, a lot of the kids that would write their own screenplays and film.
Okay.
And for me, I was too late because I realized I liked this sort of thing sophomore year. And by sophomore year, you need to be applying with what you've shot and what you've
produced to
get into the film major.
And you didn't really have anything.
So I didn't really have anything. So thankfully, I realized there was this whole field of telecommunications. And telecommunications is TV production, radio, and from there you can kind of figure out which branch you want to go into. So I went with the TV route. So I'd say my first classes were me using we got a little buzz.
We do. Hold on. Yeah. Hold on.
Sounds like a fridge. Maybe your mini split.
It's done. I think it's done. I apologize, Colin.
Oh, all good.
That is rare that has ever happened during the podcast.
Well, in video, I'm always like, airplane.
Yeah. I'm like a true professional, though. You kept going, and I'm like, oh, I was like, stop it. You know. But not you. I'm just talking the noise. But yeah, so we'll pick back up with talking about telecommunications. I believe it's done. If it does it again, I'll know it.
Yeah.
I'm on
to it now.
Yeah.
So I studied, I decided to study telecommunications at Penn State. And they had my first class. I can't really remember, but I'm sure I picked up like a JVC, just like kind of a camcorder kind of thing. And that's a great, if anyone's interested in videography, I highly recommend starting with sort of a camcorder type camera, because a lot of fixed lens. So you can do wides, you can do tights, you can follow action, good audio inputs for mics. And then that class was basically just let's start telling stories with either reporters. Does anyone in the class want to be a reporter? Start working with them.
Yeah.
So it was a lot of like almost kind of like news feel stuff. And then from there, I joined a few clubs that helped me continue to learn and practice. And I just tried to get my hands on a camera whenever I could at that point.
Gotcha. So now was this like tape or like a CD or what did it record to?
Yeah, it's interesting. Is my first semester up there, everything was on tape. The next year was everything switched to SD cards. So it was a good mix of both.
Wow.
I got to learn
Best of both worlds. Yeah.
Best of both worlds. Yeah. Like, wow. Here's the tape, you know, you got to put it on play it on the plug it into the Mac and then press play on the thing so it captures in real time. And see, if you shot for 45 minutes, you got to sit there for 45 minutes while it played.
Oh, wow.
So it's digitally converted. And then SD cards came out, and it's just like download. Boom.
Yeah, changed everything, right? You just plug it in awesome. Within seconds. Yes. Yeah, it's uploaded on a computer.
A great change. I'm a big fan.
That's awesome. So what was, do you remember like what the first thing, I know you mentioned going to like other students to do like news recordings, things like that. But do you remember like what was one of the first things you did a video of?
Oh man, I remember I got stuck with this one kid who was supposed to be the reporter. He didn't show up. And I was like, well, I need a reporter. And
what was he going to report on real quick?
I think we were just doing like Penn State Blue and White weekend or something. Oh, nice. Just making kind of a package. Right. He didn't show up. He didn't do it. And I'm sitting there and he canceled on me. And I was like, I guess I'm the reporter now. So I remember I went in front of the camera, Beaver Stadium behind me, popped up a mic, you know, hey, I'm Colin Powell. I realized I had no experience being on camera. I had no not really much confidence at that point. I was awful, but got the project done. And I remember I went to my professor and I was like, you're probably wondering why this is terrible.
So
that was one of the first, so that was kind of a negative memory. I think, one of the better ones, I ended up being in telecommunications meant a lot of freedom in the sense that I could get to know the film kids. And I should mention, I got a job working at the lab that rents all the equipment out.
Oh, nice.
So I got to meet everybody. So I met a ton of film kids that way. And those were the projects I wanted to work on. And those kids were awesome. They were they wanted to be directors and directors of photography and producers. And at that point, I wanted to learn camera, but kind of sounds like a lot of guys are booked for camera, and I wanted to learn lighting because lighting is a very important
aspect. It's huge.
Video work. So everybody wanted a lighting guy. So I kind of became like the on-campus
go-to guy for lighting.
At least like multiple projects were like, hey, I could use some help on lighting. I was like, great, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in. Let's do it. So
takes an eye because not everybody, you know, just because the lights are on doesn't mean it's the right shadows, or you might get harsh shadows on faces. I'm like, from a photography standpoint, you know, when we go out to do these sports team and individual photos, everyone's like, or senior pictures too, like, oh, the sun's not out, it's a cloudy day, you know, we should reschedule. And I'm like, no, that's the perfect day to do it.
Yeah.
You know, because there's no harsh shadows and you can control the light with the flash that you bring. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And with some of the film kids projects, they were shooting all sorts of stuff. Like I'm not much of a horror guy, but they were doing horror. So we needed to do like lots of top lighting to make like silhouettes and stuff like that. So it was a really creative to just try a whole bunch of different styles of lighting, which was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you draw inspiration from? Is there certain, you know, filmmakers or certain movies that you might've seen that, you know, you're like, wow, I want to do this. I want to be, you know, I'll say a videographer or a producer, what you're doing, you know?
Yeah. I have a whole tab on my laptop that whenever I see a video I love or something, I store it to a tab file to watch later kind of thing. But a lot of, lately, there's directors that I draw inspiration from. YouTubers are just doing incredible work right now. I mean, there's that whole argument that, you ever heard that there's like a professor and he has a whole bunch of, he's running like a painting class and he has half the room for the semester do one quick painting every day for the whole semester. And then the other half of the semester, or the other half of the class, I'm sorry, does one painting, but they have the entire semester to do the painting.
Okay.
I've heard this,
but yeah, keep going.
Essentially, what ends up happening is like all the people that did one painting a day end up being much better artists because they put constant work into it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of YouTubers are doing that right now. They're doing with videography. They're really taking it to the next level because they're producing content so frequently. They're practicing their skills. They're honing it. I think that's incredible. So there's a lot of YouTubers I like to follow. Obviously, like Hollywood directors, but they also, it's a little less realistic because they have these massive crews and massive budgets.
And, yeah. You almost can't, I mean, you can draw inspiration from it, but it's hard to compare. To go back to the YouTube, is there like one or two people you wanted to mention, like for the listeners, if they want to get into videography and being a producer, like who would you recommend they watch YouTube wise?
I think there's a guy called, and I forget his last name. I don't watch him too often, but his name is Maddie Hopachan, maybe. Anyway, he's a good one to follow because he does a lot of tips and tricks, and he does a lot of, you know, if you, here's camera reviews, which are, you can kind of find that everywhere on YouTube, but he's good because I think he clearly cares about the YouTube community. I've noticed he takes the extra step towards taking care of someone who's on YouTube. I really like Danny Gervitz. He's a Philadelphia filmmaker. He's clearly very one man band, which I do, but his color grading is really good. His editing is incredible. Storytelling very good. Really like his stuff. I find myself saving a lot of his work. And then I got to say, I just love YouTube in general for literally anything. You need to change your oil? Hop on YouTube.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. What is it? You know, the YouTube education, YouTube University. Yes. That's it. That's what I'm looking for. YouTube big, University.
Big proponent of that. Yeah. I'm a big proponent. Yeah. Free information. I mean, you know, fact check some of it, but because there's nothing to stop them from putting it out there. But there's just so much good information out there.
Oh, yeah.
100%. And if someone does want to be a video producer, there's a lot of resources there.
I mean, like you said, oil, changing your oil, starting a podcast. I mean, I don't know how many YouTube videos I watched about what equipment to get, you know, what recording system to get, you know, how to edit. And, you know, I'm always learning. I don't know about you, but I feel like we're always learning. You know, you don't always know everything. Mm-hmm. And YouTube University, that's it. That's the place. You can learn a lot. So before starting Uproot Creative Services, what were you doing? I know you had a lot going on. Like, take us from Penn State to, you know, the start of Uproot.
Yeah. So I, after Penn State, got a job at local TV news stations around here. So I started at Fox 43, worked as a part-time studio crew member. So just running, like, during the live shows, they needed people to help tape. In between shows, you would cut packages or help with editing. So I like to grab the camera. I would run over to the sports guys and be like, any sports happening? Like, can I go shoot it? And they'd be like, yeah, Bears are playing. Can you run down to the Bears for 20 minutes and bring us some highlights? Yeah, absolutely. So that was always fun. So that was at Fox 43. So I did a lot of sports shooting for them. So I took kind of what I did there, and you end up meeting a lot of people out in the field. Like other stations. And I met this one guy at CBS 21 and he was like, hey, just so you know, I'm leaving. Like, if you want to apply for the job. And I was like, yeah, I would love to do this full time. I'm right now I'm part time. And, I really like doing it. You know, I'd prefer to do this that sort of stuff. So, applied for that, got that. And I worked with a wonderful reporter named Jason Bristol, who, has since moved down to Texas, but he was a really, really stylistic sports reporter in the sense that we would do highlights, but we were always looking for, like, what made the game interesting? What made this player interesting? And I was not a big sports guy at that time, so I was kind of able – I liked that element of shooting sports. You know, so a good example is we found this this little girl who was 5 years old and doing motocross.
What?
Like on a dirt bike.
On
a
dirt bike, 5 years old.
Five. And so we were both like, that's interesting.
That's a story.
Yeah. Let's do that story.
Yeah.
He found a racehorse that would paint, a retired racehorse that would paint
with his mouth.
Put the brush in its mouth and it would.
Wow.
And that story blew up. Everybody wanted to do that story after Jason did it. So those were the kind of stories he was telling.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I'm in. This is really, really cool. So I worked with him for, I think must have been 2 years. And he really kind of whipped me into shape. It was like, okay, you want to be a photojournalist? Let's really take it to the next step and learn how to do that. Yeah. And do it well. And yeah, fun times with Jason. So for Jason, I ended up moving into news. And I worked in news for maybe another year after that. And then the commercial department had an opening.
Okay.
At CBS 21. And I always wanted to kind of get away from the journalism. I liked journalism. It was fun. I never wanted to be in journalism. I wanted to do like films and take your time to sort of produce stuff. And that's kind of the vibe I got from the commercial department at 21, which is how I met you.
Yeah, then. I was going to say how we met each other. Yeah. And that makes sense too, because the sports stuff you probably have to crank out because, you know, if you don't get it out by like next morning or that same night, it's already old news. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
And news was the same way. News was,
yeah.
But just sports was nice because, you know, the story of the day is one team's probably going to win, one team's, you know, going to lose. Maybe they tie. But, you know, maybe this wrestler overcomes, you know, something incredible and does it. So, but like news was hard because I'm an emotional guy and I'd have to cover like fires and just, you know, I mean, everybody watches the news. You've seen it. Homicides, covering of that. The hours were difficult. So the commercial and I just wanted to learn commercials. So it was a no brainer essentially to move over to the commercial world.
Yeah. So it was one of our clients, Stacia, a longtime client, actually the first client I ever sold printing to. And then she was at a retirement community here.
Oh, Stacia Moore.
Yes. Shout out to Stacia if you're listening. Cause yeah, she was the first client I sold. And then when she went to the TV station, you know, she recommended, hey, like doing a video. And I've always wanted to get one done for here at Color Tech. I like to get it updated because of course the day we recorded, it just so happened that my grandfather, who's still alive, 86 years old, and my father both couldn't be here, you know, and I'm like, man, I really want him in, you know, I really want him in because family and everything. But as soon as I met you, I'm like, oh, I really like this Colin guy. You know, I could tell you, like even today, you know, I said, hey, we're going to record the podcast. If you could bring some equipment, just do some B-roll. You know, I thought maybe one camera with like a mic or something. You got like three bags in the car. Two are in here. You know,
you got to bring the light kit.
You got lights. Yeah. we got everything. You know, you're always handling yourself professionally.
Thank you.
And I feel like you're always prepared and in some cases over-prepared. Not a bad thing, but like you come prepared. And I feel like it speaks highly of yourself and your company with Uproot and what you're doing there. But yeah, so when I first met you, I was like, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. Yeah. And so you did a video, I think, it was maybe like 40 seconds or so.
30, probably a 30. Yeah. And yeah, it's pretty standard for a lot of commercials. We'll do 30 seconds. Yep.
And we still use that to this day. It's on our website and everything. Like I said, I'd like to get it updated. We have some changes.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
But yeah, I mean, the video I think is, and we'll segue into, and then we can talk about how Uproot got started. But I feel like video is definitely in the forefront of everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Huge, huge marketing element. I mean, it same with photography and print, but video is just a really, really powerful medium that you know, I fell in love with, you know, just watching movies, and now I'm like, wait a second, this can help people, this can translate a message and help with companies and market companies and ultimately change businesses essentially.
It can drive business to a company for sure. Mm-hmm. And you know, I remember when Instagram first came out, it was like strictly photography, it was only photography. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, if you're not doing video, you know, and TikTok's out, and that's, you know, video is like the king of content.
Yep.
You know, you
sorry to interrupt.
No, you're good.
I think I went to make a post the other day, and I just wanted to post a photo on Instagram, and it was automatically putting it into a reel for me.
Yeah,
what else? What other photos would you like to add to your reel? And I was like, I'm not trying to do that right now.
Exactly. Yeah, I just want to post a photo, which is what the app was created for. But it's like you have to keep up with the times, and
it's changing.
It's changing.
The algorithms love video.
Yeah. Can you speak a little bit more? So why does the algorithms push video content over like a photo or like a carousel of photos?
I think it's a couple reasons. One, I think video is, besides being a really, really powerful storytelling medium that, I mean, it can be emotional, it can be heartbreaking, it can be it can be whatever you plan it to be. I mean, it's, and sometimes it changes while you make it. But, so I think there's that element that one, there's just like this undeniable power behind it. I mean, some of the people that go viral still are just like, I don't know if we'll ever repeat, you know, be able to go viral like this again, you know? And I think in terms of like what the difference between like a photo, say like Instagram's transition from photography company and posting photos to posting reels is also like, can't deny the money element of it. You know,
yeah.
If someone watches for longer, that's gonna, you know, that gets more eyeballs and shares and, you
right.
know, so there's also that element to it as a business. Advertising behind it, you can do YouTube, Instagram. I'm seeing ads on them all the time. Yeah, I think that's just what's happening. It's becoming really, really important.
It is. And like you said, at the beginning of the episode, you know, it's about starting, right? Mm-hmm. Just doing it. And sometimes I feel like that's the hardest hurdle to overcome.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess before we were recording, I think just we talked about, like, first off, just congratulations on 84.
Episodes. Oh, thank you.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, that's not easy.
No. No.
And so many people just want to get started on something and can't quite do that. So hats off to you for 84. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you very much. It's been a roller coaster and meeting new people and getting the in-depth story, you know.
Yeah.
I almost feel sometimes like a bit of a therapist kind of. I feel like I should charge for it, but you know, at the same time I'm getting to share people's stories, so that's like the takeaway there. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun. A lot of behind the scenes that people don't see, some late night editing where my wife is like, maybe you should like get a buddy or hire somebody to edit this. And I'm like, well, it's my baby still. I'm still working on it.
Yeah, you don't want to let go.
Right,
yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been fun. And like you said, I just was like, you know what, I'm gonna do this. I'd mentioned to you off air, Bill Corcoran Jr. up in Scranton has On the Stacks podcast. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. Does a phenomenal job. And that's kind of, I've always listened to podcasts, but mm-hmm. then when I heard his, and he has a similar scenario where he had a family print shop. He's no longer in the business, and it's already out on his episodes. But I was like, man, this guy's doing it. Let me give it a try. You know, I know so many people, friends and family, and it's really taken off to where, like I mentioned, you know, over 130 people have filled out the form that you filled out over a year ago. So like I said, I'm getting around to everybody.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I want to do some updates here in the studio. It's kind of been the same for a while, so I want to change some things. But yeah.
I mean, you've taken it from, I mean, it's not easy to take it from nothing and then and have this really cool. I mean, you have a few sponsors, right?
Yeah, two sponsors, local sponsors. We did some trade and partnership there. So I want to shout out Trigger 22 and Kelowna Coffee Roasters. Matt Zekman at Kelowna Coffee Roasters and Rebecca Gundrum at Trigger 22. Phenomenal people. Both are, well, Rebecca's a veteran and Matt is still active. So, you know, just great people serving our country. And when they came on and shared their stories, I was like, this is a no-brainer. You know what I mean?
Right on.
Yeah, so I'm looking to grow it in that sense of getting new sponsors. I want to keep it local.
Mm-hmm.
Local businesses, nonprofits, restaurants, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, what I liked about your podcast from the – I've been listening to it for a while.
Well, thank you.
And, it reminds me of – I think I've told you this. It reminds me of how I built this, which is entrepreneurial. But, I don't know, just at our level, like at a local level. These are people I can actually go out and reach out to and talk to. And that's really cool. Whereas once I listen to how I built this, I'm not exactly going to be able to call the guy from Chopped or a big multi-million-dollar company that's, you know, flourishing.
But yeah. Well, it's like there's a country song and I don't know the artist. My wife would ramble it off just like that. But it's like we all have famous friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they're famous on a local level, you know, and you might not know them. You know, if you go outside of the hometown, but when you're here in Lebanon County, when you're here in PA, it's like, there's a lot of people doing some awesome things, you know, and they're living life. They're achieving amazing things that we're going to talk about. You know, you got an Emmy sitting here. Like, it's just, there's a lot of people doing a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah. Cool. So let's take a sip break real quick.
Sounds good.
Yeah. How did Uproot Creative Services, like, how'd that get started? Talk about that.
Yeah, great question. So while I was at CBS 21 doing, I think I was still in the news section, probably sports too, but anyway, while I was at CBS 21, there was that itch to shoot films and, you know, work with crews and be a director and be a director of photography and Not so much journalism, not so much capturing stuff in the moment. Mm-hmm. More like take a script and turn it into a short film or a movie or something. So that itch was kind of always there. And I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Sam, who started, he founded VidJam. And VidJam is a Harrisburg organization that put out a challenge for a 48-hour film festival. So my friend, my now wife, Ashley, my now partner, Kevin, and I were like, we got the itch. Let's make a short film. Let's put it in.
Yeah.
And we made this short film. It's called Coffee. All it is two anxious people going back and forth about talking to each other and in their minds. It's like 3 minutes long of them just being like, should I say hi? Shouldn't I? No, I'm, you know, nervous. Going back and forth, and eventually they're like, I got you a coffee at the same time.
Yeah.
So then, like, that's how the film ends. Boom, they're talking. And we had so much fun with it, and we did that for a 48-hour film festival. And we were, not to, like, brag, but we became little celebrities. Like, Ash went to a party, and they were like, that's the girl from Coffee.
That's so cool.
Like, everybody in Harrisburg was so jazzed about this film competition that had some other really good entries. I don't think we won anything, but it was just fun.
Yeah.
And it was like this mini film community was rising in Harrisburg.
Okay.
And we were a part of it. And it was really exciting.
That's so cool.
And so VidJam was every year. So the next year they had like, you know, that year they had like 5 entries. And the next year it like doubled or something crazy.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, we got to do a VidJam. So Uproot kind of started from us being like, okay, let's, you know, put the news thing to the side. Let's do VidJam. Let's make some films.
Yeah.
So it's really this, I can't remember where we came up with the title Uproot. I actually do not remember. I think we went back and forth on a whole bunch of stuff. I think we wanted to like, it was something about changing the industry, but,
cause Uproot, you want to uproot it.
I think so. I think that was it. Yeah. I think so. Which now makes me cringe a little, but
I like it though.
It's fine. Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. It's just like, oh, young Colin. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, when you're young, you want to change and everything and be like the best, and I can make the industry better.
Let's be the change you want to see.
Yeah.
Which, so the next year, you know, we got brought on more friends, and like we all took different roles, you know, and made a couple and just kept making films, and VidJam did like 3 VidJams in 1 year. That was a lot. But it's hard to make a film in 48 hours. I don't know if, you got to write it. You got to see who you got available to be on your cast and crew. You got to shoot it and you got to edit it all in 48 hours. So it ends up being.
And how long, like 3 minutes, 2 minutes? How long?
I don't think there was ever a stipulation.
It wasn't like you had to hit 5 minutes or something.
I think the coffee one was smart because we only needed one location. So as soon as we had the idea for it, I think I called up a whole bunch of coffee shops, and this one was like, yeah, sure. We're not using our outdoor studio set. So we took a camera out, took a few mics. I think the script, we got wildly off script. And we just kind of recorded a whole bunch of stuff. But then it finally, we had a day to edit it, and it came together, and we were good to go.
And sometimes, too, it's not so much like, did you place first, second, or third, or whatever, but it's you were there, you showed up, you know, you started. And then from there, it's the connections, it's the who you met. You know, because I think a lot of times people get hooked on like, oh, did you come in first? Or did you place or get a medal or win? Or like, you know, how many likes did it get? But sometimes it's the stuff you don't see. It's, well, how many listens, you know, were it, or how many downloads, or like, who did you meet because of it? Like, if you never did VidJams,
right,
you probably wouldn't have met some of the cool people you did,
right?
You know,
yeah, and you meet all the other people from the little rising culture in the area. I mean, we met a whole bunch of Harrisburg improv students who were all awesome, incredible actors because they do improv every week. And other people that have now, you know, developed this love for filmmaking because of those competitions. So yeah, really cool opportunity. So essentially Uproot kind of started there and we were working, and then I think we eventually, someone wanted to hire us for a video outside journalism, outside CBS 21, outside, Kevin eventually moved over to ABC 27. So outside those elements, and then it kind of started to become a production company. And from there, I think we went to, I went full time on it in at the end of 2020. It was just time. It was like, it's not going to grow if I don't do it. And there's not really a lot of more opportunity here for me at 21. So this is what I, you know, this is what I dream about. This is what I think about. Let's take the leap. And let's, and now we just brought on Kevin, who's been with us since the beginning as our, as my, he's my co-founder, but he's, we brought him on full time too. So now he's managing a lot of our editing. He does a lot of our social posts, blogs. He's a champ at the website. He does. He's awesome.
Okay.
So yeah, we got two full timers now.
That's awesome. And yeah. Let's talk about like that, taking that, cause that is a big leap.
Yeah.
You know, especially coming off of, so you did at the end of 2020.
Yep.
COVID hit, what was that, March or May?
Yeah. And I was at CBS 21 then. So I can't join you entrepreneurials who had to go through that, but because I had a job that was deemed, I forget what the term was, but essential. Thank you. So they remained open, and I could work from home. So, you know, I was kind of blessed in that situation where a lot of people needed commercials actually during that time.
Yeah,
and then we would do a lot of Zoom recordings, a lot of how can we produce your commercial, you know, from a way that everybody's comfortable. Can it be digitally?
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Can it be graphics? Can we just update your current commercial with a different graphic tag or something like that? That was a lot of my work during 2020. So then, and then during 2020, I noticed a lot of video production companies were making the switch to live streaming. So a lot of companies were demoing products through live streaming, which they were end up hitting even more of an audience than they were doing before.
Hmm.
So I noticed a lot of video production companies doing that and doing that well. And I think, you know, I think people got a bit more comfortable with everything that was happening towards the end. And I was kind of like, okay, at this point, I think it makes sense. And I think it's what I want to do. I'm comfortable going out there. Let's give it a shot.
Take the leap.
Let's take the leap. Yep.
And Ashley was supportive.
Yeah, she was great. Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's
she
phenomenal.
So cool. She's like, why didn't we do it earlier? Kind of mindset.
Yeah, get great. After it. Okay, cool. So now at Uproot, what video production services do you guys offer?
We offer a variety of products. So we will do lots of commercials. We love shooting commercials with small businesses. We work with a lot of marketing teams on their marketing goals, you know, how can we best tell this story, you know, in this fashion. We'll do internal videos for, you know, if a company has training sessions or CEO talks to like town halls sort of things, we'll do those. We do offer live streaming now. Anything that lets us tell a story, if I'm being honest, anything that we try and put our creative flair on it.
Yeah. So what separates you from like those big dogs, like, you know, CBS 21 and the local TV stations or things like that? Like what separates you guys?
I think great question. I think it's a couple things. I think it's being at 21 and Kevin at ABC 27. I think we kind of learned how to that style and how to do that style well. And that style is very clean and it's very professional. So it's very much like good audio. Capture good audio all the time. And it's also like shoot on a tripod, you know, make sure there's no wiggle.
Camera shake. Yeah,
exactly. Wiggle, yeah. Because wiggle is distracting. It's not, I mean, it can be, it depends on the story. put me on a different tangent.
Yeah. But, depends on what you're shooting, I guess. And exactly. The purpose exactly. It serves.
Yeah. Is it a storytelling element? Would you want it? Would you want the wiggle?
Right. You know, maybe you want it.
Maybe you were telling a wiggling story.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But so 21 taught us the basics to being a professional, in my opinion. I also learned a lot of different software at 21, you know, that is still, we're still using today. And then I think what also separates us is I think a lot of creative professionals never get that business 101 mm-hmm. talk class. Yeah. And I was one of them. I was very much someone who wanted to do this as a business, but then didn't know much about business. So, I think what separates us is I've really put a lot of emphasis on learning how to be a good businessman, have good customer service, have good communication,
crucial
that sort of thing.
Oh, it's crucial nowadays. Cause, that is what separates you from, you know, I'll say the big dogs, right? It's, you know, we might not be the biggest print shop, but we put our clients first. It's all about service, you know, and it's putting the client first. It's not, we'll get to you later. You know, hey, you'll get that quote or this and that. I think service oriented companies going forward into, you know, 2025 and so forth, are the ones that are going to win.
Right.
Cause if you're not service oriented and you're taking forever to get pricing back or whatever it may be to get the final edit done. Yeah. Clients aren't, you have to put them first.
Yeah.
Have to
I
be
agree.
First. Yeah.
100%.
And now you still use like the big, again, big dogs. You use that same kind of software and everything? Like,
yeah, we added on the Adobe Cloud.
Okay.
Yep. Which a lot of videographers are actually moving away from.
Really?
It costs monthly. So you pay monthly.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are like, why would I pay monthly if I can just get Final Cut for a straight fee and then I have it for my life?
So Final Cut's not... I thought that was tied in with Adobe. I don't
know. Final Cut is exclusive to Apple, so you can't get on a Windows, whereas the Adobe Cloud you can get on
both.
A lot of people are moving over to DaVinci Resolve, which I haven't learned it yet. I hear a lot of good things. I would like to take time to learn it, just to kind of stay up on the industry. Yeah, I think, and then there's a whole bunch of free options which I haven't really tried. I don't know too much about them,
like my iMovie, like my iMovie.
Hey, whatever works.
Yeah, gotta start somewhere.
You know, I with Adobe, it ends up being a business expense, but you know, the cost of doing business. But I wouldn't blame anyone if they wanted to use iMovie. Good. Yeah. I say good for you. The more iMovie, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old school, you know, take it back to the roots of just trying to figure things out. So iMovie and GarageBand for the listeners. That's kind of the two things I'm running for the American Grown Podcast. And, you know, I'm just, for me to learn those softwares, you know, I don't have the time or really the want, you know, myself. But for me, it's like, I just want to produce something that sounds good, but do it efficiently and as quickly as possible.
Yep.
Because again, 2 under 2, family, full-time job. It's like, but this is my creative outlet kind of thing, you know, and it is growing and it's a lot of fun, but you know, maybe one day I'd like to get somebody that I can say, hey, here's my recording, make it sound great, you know, or here's my video, do your thing, you
please,
know.
Please edit it.
Yeah.
Edit
and I will somehow. Pay you, you know, let's work something out. But, you know, so your work has earned yourself, numerous awards and talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So at 21, I got to work, I mentioned Jason Bristol, incredible reporter. He and I worked on a ton of really interesting and fun stories. And, at that time with him, we had a couple nominations, but we won 3 of these. I brought in the Emmy today. One of our 3 Emmys. This was with one of Jason's sports casts. So this one was particularly for the show that we produced that one individual night. But what I like about this one is that Jason had a mindset that I keep with me today, and that is like you should go 110% at work, like all the time. Jason, whenever he would go to work and get on air and tell a story or do a package, he was always bringing 110%. And this Emmy was a show we did, just a typical news cast.
Okay.
That had, it had a ton of elements to it that made it a good candidate for an Emmy. It had, you know, obviously he had a great presentation. It had one of my packages in it, which is why I'm very proud of it. It had a, I think we told a story of a one-armed wrestler that day.
Oh, wow.
On that package. And, but essentially I do, I like this one because after the show, I didn't leave thinking that was like the best show we've ever done. I just kind of left being like, that was a good show.
Yeah.
We put 110% in. And then later I found out he had submitted it for Emmy. Like he clearly put a note on it and was like, that's got
potential.
That's got potential.
Yeah.
So I love that one. Cause it reminds me to go 110%
at all times.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Yeah. First Emmy in the studio here. That is so cool. And there will be photos up on American Girl Podcast, Facebook and Instagram. Cause that's really, really neat. Wow.
Yeah, and cool, this is a Mid-Atlantic Emmy, so this this one is up against Philly and Pittsburgh stations, so some big competition. Some
big competition, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. And yeah, right here, that's so cool. It's right here in the studio. That's awesome. Very cool. And you should be proud of it, because, I mean, not, like, that's rare, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. 100%. They're not easy to get. The first year I was with Jason, I think we got... I think a nomination. I didn't win anything that year, and it was just I went out to the award show and like left empty, and I was just like, okay, I gotta work. We gotta work harder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like
110%.
I want one. You know.
Oh, you got the itch then.
Yeah, I got the itch. Yeah. I remember leaving like kind of disappointed, and then but I'm so glad that happened because it was like, okay, things aren't just given to you. You gotta work for it. And yeah, so I'm stoked. Yeah,
that's awesome. Yeah. And then you also had won two.
Oh yeah,
Edward R. Murrow.
Edward R. Murrow, Murrow Awards. Yeah. So those are.
I've never heard of
really,
those. Yeah,
they are even harder to get than Emmys. Those are really, really prestigious awards journalism. Edward R. Murrow was a very famous journalist back in the day. They named the award after him. There was only a few handed out. I mean, you can look up the organization. It hands them out every year. There's, you know, the winners.
Yeah.
But they break them down into size markets. And I think when I was at 21, we had only won, I think, like three at that time.
Okay.
And so we won that one. And it was like the fourth one the station had ever received.
Wow.
And since then, I think Jason's won. I know... our chief photojournalist and reporter Lara at that time, Kyle Cooper and Lara won as well. But like, they're rare. They're hard to get. Yeah. They're rare. You gotta have a fire story. And some stories you never know. Cause like that story that won us a Murrow did not win an Emmy. We submitted it. Did not really? Win an Emmy. Yeah.
Wow. So that's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you never know.
Yeah.
We submitted that one, not sure if it was ever going to do anything for a Murrow. We were like, this is a good story. Let's submit it. And
yeah. It just clicked with them and it worked. Yeah. It worked.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I got to look that up because I've never heard of it. And I'm like,
yeah,
Edward R. Murrow. I was like, what award is that? So that's even more prestigious than an Emmy. Wow.
Yeah. Look up his history. He's a famous broadcaster. Very, very, well-renowned journalist.
Yeah. Okay.
Check him out.
Yep. Oh, very cool. Mm-hmm. Definitely. And now to kind of segue, you know, back into Uproot.
Sure.
And like the future of video content and creative content. What do you see the future being?
Oh, great question. So I feel like we can't go a podcast without talking about AI, right?
Right.
I think story will always be king. Story will always be king.
Mm-hmm.
I think... story is what resonates with people. It's what ties the personality to the product, the business, the mission. There will always be story. I think the tools we use to tell those stories will get easier. I mean, AI is impacting the industry. I think it will impact the industry at some point. I don't think my company or my role in it is changing. I think we still need handcrafted stories.
Oh, yeah.
But AI is being a tool, I think, will make film video production
mm-hmm.
more important or a little easier for some people, at least.
Yeah.
I mean, right now I use some AI elements. I do. Just clean up audio. There's incredible. Adobe is a really good company that I think uses AI in the right way. So right now, like I use Adobe's AI for shortening songs. So right now, if I have a 30-second song and I need it to fit a 20-second edit is tight. I'm like, I love how this progressed. I need this song to be, I can't stop it right at 20 seconds because the song's, you know, the beat's about to drop or something. You can use AI and it'll kind of get a sense for like, you know, how the music is flowing and cut some of it out and cut it to 20.
Wow.
And I've used that a lot of times and it just works. And I'm like, that's amazing. And then there's some where you can use AI to remove, say we're recording audio outside at a street.
Yeah.
And a car goes by. I've seen AI just completely remove the car.
Remove that sound.
And just like make it sound better. So it's not at the point where it's, I don't think I agree with it when it comes to like make deep fakes and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah,
making
yeah.
people say things they never said. Not okay with that.
Right.
But when it comes to like cleaning up something and making the content just like a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just little tools in your pocket. I think I'm okay with that.
Nice. Oh, yeah. I would agree. AI, you know, especially I've seen like the Photoshop AI on mm-hmm. Adobe where it's like you have a picture and then, you know, let's say it's like a picture of a puppy dog. It'll be like at a park or something, you know, and it expands and expands.
Yeah.
And
I've seen that.
You know, it's pretty neat. But then, you know, it might be a picture of a person holding something and, you know, AI does something and it's like got four fingers or something. I don't know if you've seen like some of that AI and it's it's definitely not there yet.
Completely misses.
Completely misses the mark. Yeah.
Well, I was on someone's, I think there's also just like, you can tell when it's AI. Like it looks kind of cartoony. There's just like a look that I can tell. Like, okay, that's AI. Yeah. And I was on someone's website the other day and it was just like AI photos after AI photo. And I was like, I don't think I'm too interested right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not too interested in this business because like, I just want to see a little more personality than AI. And I think that's just going to naturally happen in the workspace. I think like there's a time and place for AI.
Uh-huh.
And I think if it's too much, the market will tell you.
I think the more that AI grows, because it is, right? It's going to be a part of everyone's life in some way, shape, or form. I know Apple's going to do a big update to Siri, I think, coming this fall or something. I'm a bit of an Apple fanboy. But, you know, I think the more that AI grows and becomes part of our life, the more we're going to look for that realism, you know, that authenticity, putting real face to a name kind of thing, where it's not just a picture of an AI character or something. I agree with that 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think a lot of, like, video, I mean, it might come to the point where, like, you don't need to hire an editor. AI can tell AI to scan your podcast and find the edit marks, or just say, hey, scan my podcast and find out where I said edit here, and maybe it nails it.
Maybe.
Might save you an hour at night, you know? I don't know.
Or it'll add 2 hours because it'll mess it up, you know? But yeah, you're right. I mean, the future is crazy to think about with AI in the coming years, you know, and it's not far off in the future. You know, probably the next 2-3 years, who knows the leaps it's already taken. Have you ever seen, speaking of AI and video, there is, it's in beta. I think it's Vigil, V-I-G-G-L-E, I think it is.
No, I haven't used that.
So it was big. I'm gonna mess so much up, but I'll put a link in the show notes so people can check it out themselves. There was a popular meme,
okay,
and this was just like last month maybe, and it is a concert venue setup. It is a gentleman, the artist is on stage, he has a mic, comes out and like dances and is singing, and this Vigil, V-I-G-G-L-E, it'll take a photo. Like I took a photo myself. Put it into,
and it puts, and they're coming, they come down the aisle. That was a meme. Yeah, I've seen that.
Everyone was doing, like, I saw, I follow the Philadelphia Eagles and the Phillies were doing it and like all this stuff. And, I messed around with it a little bit and, I'll share the video on my social media so people can check it out that way. But, it's just crazy. I mean, of course it didn't look the best. And
of course
I think,
not.
Yeah.
But that's also part of the appeal of it. It's like, you know,
It's just funny. Yeah. Almost goofy looking, but I was like, I want to try this. So, you know, with that being like the future AI and stuff, you know, and this is your full-time gig, you know, this is it. What are some of like the fears you have as an entrepreneur? You know, can you talk a little bit about some of the fears you might have?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there's been a few, I can't help but be nervous when, you know, you ask AI to generate a dolly shot through Harrisburg and okay. It looks just like Harrisburg. And it's like, now someone's probably not going to hire me because they can just computer generate that image. So yeah, that sort of thing kind of scares me a little. I think we're pretty far from that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure AI is not going to be free, but I would say that's kind of the one fear I have. I think we're pretty far away from that. You know, AI needs reference information that's already uploaded to the internet to work off of.
Okay.
To create. So, but you know, we have a couple clients where we will edit, you know, stock footage with. I could see us being replaced by, you know, do this edit for me and insert this shot here and this shot here. Yeah, we might lose that business. But at the end of the day, we are storytellers and story will always be king.
Yeah.
And I think, people, that's the difference. People will know when it's a handcrafted sort of item, sort of art, handcrafted service as opposed to computer generated. I think people will just know.
Yep, 100%. I agree. Has there been any mentors that have left a lasting impact on you throughout your journey?
Yeah, I would say Kyle Cooper, who used to be our chief photojournalist at CBS 21. I used to, after we had a story air, I would go to him and just kind of book half an hour with you and let's just break it down and go over the story I told. And so he had a huge influence on me. He was amazing. He was always taking time to critique my work and
yeah.
How can it be better? Push it. So I would, yeah, he's awesome. He does videos for Members First right now.
Oh, wow.
So
oh, very
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, he's really cool.
Yeah. And that's that feedback, you know, some people can look at it as criticism, but I know when I first started doing the photography stuff, mm-hmm. We had an older gentleman here, Jim, phenomenal guy, real good sports photographer. And yeah, he definitely, you know, set a standard and it was like, look, you know, I was just coming out of college and this is how we're going to shoot. And a couple times, you know, maybe I missed the mark and he'd be like, look, you got to do these settings, this and this.
Yeah.
But I think you need that feedback.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And actually right now I don't have a mentor and I would like one. So if anyone listening is a master videographer,
never know. Yeah, you never know. Yeah, for sure.
I would very much like,
yeah.
Like I miss that having that. I could probably still go to Kyle. I call him Chief. Because he used to be our chief photographer.
Yeah.
And he's an incredible dad, too. So I could get that dad mentorship from him. But yeah, I think I would just, for the rest of my life, even when, if I'm 90, I think I would still like a mentor. Because I'd like that process of always learning and always critiquing. And because that's how I've always gotten better. And that's how I've always learned something, is through breaking it down and through taking a look back at it.
And what's nice about having a mentor is you learn from their mistakes or what they've gone through, you know, they can pass that knowledge on to you. So I don't want to say you skip some steps sometime, but it's like you learn from their mistakes so you don't have to go through that, you know? Yeah,
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we talked about the Emmy. Let's talk about, what'd you say? Your baby over here? Your lady?
Yeah, this is my girl. This is the Canon C70. So
that's a monster of a camera, I gotta say.
And it's kind of blocky looking, right? Yeah. Like it almost looks like something you might take to photograph, you know.
It does.
With photos. Oh, yeah.
In sports or something.
Yeah. And it's very much a video camera. It doesn't even do stills. But this represents, I brought this in today because it's my camera of choice. And it represents kind of the both styles that I've kind of learned to work with, which is news and anticipation of moments. So this is a very good run and gun camera. There's audio inputs, but it's also got that DSLR look, that shallow depth of field available. You can swap the lenses out. You can get really nice, crisp depth of field. You can choose color profiles to shoot on. It's got four audio inputs. So if I'm not happy, it's awesome. I can pop a mic on someone and then set one level to record 10 decibels lower in case they you know, peak really loud, yeah. and it's got that yeah. safety recording. So it's just the perfect camera for me. It's got built-in ND filters. For anyone listening, a lot of people kind of learn to shoot on DSLRs, and that's a really great way to shoot and learn. But you spend a lot of time and money getting it to be a video camera. ND filters, audio inputs. You got that guy over there filming on your Sony, but you know, to add to him, you'd have to get extra lenses, a shotgun mic. Does it have a mic input? Then you would get like a little lavalier mic, you know, just things like that. Whereas this guy came video ready. He has those inputs that I'm familiar with from news, and it's got that, you know, I can take my time and plan the shot out. I can really craft the image to what I want, like what I learned in the commercial space and what I want to keep practicing as I become more and more of a filmmaker.
May I hold it here?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Here, I'll turn it on for you.
I just want to feel.
Of course.
Oh my gosh. It's actually
not bad.
No, I was going to say it's lighter than I kind of thought it would be.
Yeah.
From handling like my DSLR, my Nikon. Wow. Okay. I'm just going to put it down. I just want to like lift it up to see like what it felt like. Because you got all the bells and whistles on there. Yeah. It looks, again, you know, looks aren't everything. But like if I see that, I'm like, okay, this guy's a professional. Again, you know, like I said, you handle yourself, you have the professional equipment. And that's what, again, separates somebody with their iPhone trying to do video compared to somebody with a Canon, what is it? Yeah, EOS C, you know?
Yeah, this is the C70. Yeah. This is the Canon C70. And she's actually a few years old at this point. She came out in 2019, I think. But
still gets the job
done. Yeah, she shoots 4K. She shoots 60. You know, you'd be surprised at how many cameras that are coming out still just don't have the basics to shoot multiple different types of jobs. All jobs require a different, what settings do I need? What, you know, other extra gear do I need? So this guy has a lot of them.
Did you purchase through B&H?
We did. We did do through B&H. We did, and we're still paying for it. It's the Canon lease to own.
Great option, yeah.
Option, yeah. And they gave us a really affordable rate. I think we pay like 3% interest.
Yeah.
But like, you know, part of our day rate comes into the care and of this camera, and you know, we'll pay it off and own it someday.
There but you go. Right.
For right now, we get to use it, learn it, and yeah, and then we'll own it once it's paid off.
Yeah, very cool. So now, side note for fun, because I wanted to throw this in there.
Sure.
You're an active hiker, paddleboarder, beekeeper, and I found that interesting because I had a gentleman on, Mike Reese from Quitty Hollow. It was episode 77, and he is also a beekeeper.
Cool.
Now he keeps like, was it 100 or 150, like, for lack of terminology, hives.
Okay.
You know, and he produces his own honey.
He's got a lot of hives. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I am not that.
but you're a beekeeper as well.
Yes. We have, we have four hives. That is a manageable level for us right now. But yeah, it's tons of fun. We started beekeeping in 20. I think we've been doing it for 3 or 4 years now. So our first year, We got them right before winter, and they just weren't prepared. They died over winter, and it was just a horrible feeling. And I think they just didn't have enough reserves. A lot of people don't realize that, like, when you can't just take the honey from the bees, you need to save some for them. Since then, I haven't lost a hive, but I also have been not taking nearly as much honey as I probably could, because I'm like, no, you guys.
Just be safe.
Just be safe.
Yeah, just be safe.
Yeah. A lot of people harvest in the fall, but I'm like, I don't know, guys. Like, don't want you to starve, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's a really fun hobby. My wife is kind of the inspiration with that. She's a very avid gardener. She's very into her native plants and sustainability efforts. And she's always one to have like a pollinator garden that would benefit pretty much the community. And bees help in that. You know, the world needs bees.
Oh, yeah.
So she's the one that was like, we should get bees. And I'm like, I don't know. Then we got them, and I'm like, okay, this is pretty fun.
Pretty cool. Yeah, that's, like I said, Mike, episode 77. I mean, he's all in on it because he, you know, produces the honey and then sells it.
Great.
Cool. He actually made the coaster here. He makes like handcrafted
things. Okay.
You know, yeah, a lot of wooden items and
I'll have to connect with him.
Charcuterie boards. That sounds great. Yeah, Quiddy Hollow. Check him out on Instagram. Really cool guy. So when I saw that, I was like, wait, Colin's a beekeeper? And I just interviewed Mike and I had him on the podcast and he's a beekeeper. So I just thought it was neat. So now if somebody wanted to connect with you, follow along on your journey, you know, learn about beekeeping, hire Uproot, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Let me pull up my Instagram, make sure I get it right. My personal Instagram is Colin Films Things, Colin with one L. And _films_things. And then my company is Uproot Creative Services. So on Instagram, we're Uproot_CS. And you can find us at UprootCreativeServices.com or UprootCS.com. That'll get you there too.
Before we close out, is there anything else you'd like the listeners to know?
Go 110% every day.
Colin Powell, co-founder of Uproot Creative Services on the American Grown Podcast and the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop, veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
Triggered 22 LLC, a veteran owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds.